Our episodes contain graphic information and at times strong language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Would you like some murder with your coffee?
Welcome to Morning Murders. I'm Nicole.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Brenna. We're just three gals that like to sit around, drink coffee, talk about true crime, talk about crazy stuff. About being friends and drinking coffee.
Friendship and coffee.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're about.
Yeah, we're about the coffee, the friendship, the murder, the friendship, and the talking.
And the murder.
And beans.
And beans.
Always a bean.
These beans.
These beans.
Hi, Beans. Yes. How you doing? You doing okay?
Hi,
Ben. We can't hear you. Speak up.
Yeah.
Can you say that louder?
One more.
One more time. How are you?
I'm so sorry.
It must be tough.
That was awesome. I'm proud of you. You can edit whatever you want.
Yeah.
Whatever you'd like to put here. That's all that matters is that we're your friends.
We're here for you,
and we're here to tell you some murdery stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. You're all sick and twisted like us.
Yay. Some true crime.
True crime.
You got some crime for
us
today,
I've got some stuff. So, ladies and beans, my episode today is actually inspired by a book I just finished reading.
You read?
I read. I love reading.
She does. She loves reading. Send her books now.
I love books. I read a lot.
Send her a book. Everybody right now.
Everybody
right now. P.O. Box, nicolesbooks.gov.
.gov. I love that it's .gov.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's official.
Yeah. It's an official thing.
Yeah. Send Nicole books.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just finished reading a book called Death du Jour, a novel by Kathy Reichs. It's the second book in an ongoing series that inspired the TV show Bones, which is awesome, which I finished. Anyway, so this specific book dealt with cults. So in reading it, I started to dive more into cults and the psychology around them. And I wanted to read an excerpt, right? Yeah. I wanted to read an excerpt from the book about cults before I dive into the case that I have in my hand here before me. So, cults are not just groups of crazies who follow weird leaders, at least the way I use the term. They are organizations with a set of common features. A cult forms around a charismatic individual who promises something. This individual professes some special knowledge. Sometimes the claim is access to ancient secrets. Sometimes it's an entirely new discovery to which he or she alone is privy. Sometimes it's a combination of both. The leader offers to share the information with those who follow. Some leaders offer utopia, or a way out. Just come along, follow me. I'll make the decisions. All will be fine. In a cult, it's the charismatic leader who eventually becomes the object of devotion. In some cases, he's actually deified. And as that happens, the leader comes to hold extraordinary control over the lives of his followers. That comes from the character Red Skyler in Death du Jour. Mm. And with that, ladies and beans, have you ever heard of Daniel Perez?
Daniel Perez. I bet you I don't know his name, but I'm like, when you say the name of the cult, maybe?
Yeah, I think
probably.
You will know who it is.
Yeah.
Daniel Perez, who was also known as Lou Castro, claimed he was a vessel for three different angels, Arthur, Daniel, and Amber. He was the leader of Angel's Landing, and he was, to name a few more things, a pathological liar, rapist, pedophile, manipulator, and murderer. Now, normally, I talk about, like, the timeline of people that we cover, maybe see moments in their past where intervention could happen, or maybe played a pivotal moment to shape the future of the outcome of that person or the people's lives that they eventually destroyed. But with Daniel, there really isn't anything. Mm. He won't talk about his past, and none of his family have been identified. There is a theory that his father was a man named Jose Angel Perez, but it has never been confirmed.
Mm.
Most of what is known about him doesn't show up until, like, his 20s or late 20s. I know that he was born November 26th, 1959, in Arnassus Pass, Texas. Also, he may have been an airplane mechanic in the Navy when he was a young adult.
Hmm.
I guess the main issue is that he has many different aliases, so it's been difficult to actually track his life. When he left the Navy, it is known that he met a woman named Patricia Hughes as his persona, Lou Castro. The reason he even had this alias, and probably all the other supposedly aliases that he had, he was avoiding charges of pedophilia.
I know. I was like, what's he in hiding for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This gives me Dexter's new season vibe.
Right. So Patricia became Daniel's first follower, essentially. He began to tell her about his true identity and his powers. Patricia and Daniel met a woman named Mary and her family at some point. They began to spend time with the family and got close. Then, suddenly, Daniel and Patricia had to quickly leave town. Why? Well, Daniel was accused of molesting Mary's 11-year-old daughter.
Yeesh. Pedophile's gonna pedophile.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shortly after that, they met a 15-year-old named Catherine. She was in North Dakota. It was with Catherine that the truth of the three angels within Daniel came to light, in addition to his supernatural powers. Targeting young women is basically his whole thing, and it only gets worse the more followers and believers he gets.
Yeah, those are, they're way easier to convince mm-hmm. of weird stuff like that. Are these angels, are they from the Bible? I'm not familiar with the Bible at all. Are they, like, because I was like, is there an angel named Amber?
No. So
I was like, Gabriel,
yes.
You got Amber.
So I'm going to talk about
the angels
a little bit more when we get a little further.
I don't want to get ahead of it. Distractor. They're like, name the apostles. It's like John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I'm getting. I'm like, wait, were these at least biblical, or was he just like, Amber?
And Amber. The dumbest angel name.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So after
if your name is Amber, you're great.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Saying,
the name Amber is great.
Everybody calls me Amber. They're like, Amber? I'm like, Amanda, close.
A member?
A member?
I like Amber. Dope. The color Amber is
yeah,
really pretty.
The color
but the way he uses Amber is okay. Dumb. So after he told Catherine of these impossible stories, she believed him, and he started to have a sexual relationship with her. Again, she's 15 years old.
Ooh.
He was quickly arrested, however. Catherine's dad thought things weren't right with Daniel, and he grew suspicious of his intentions and called the police. Good dad.
Yeah.
But then Daniel skipped town again and avoided serving actual time for his continued sexual crimes against young women.
Mm.
He doesn't resurface until after he creates Angel's Landing, the cult he is famously known for. So Daniel's supernatural or biblical or whatever you want to call them gifts that he told his followers pretty much changed depending on who you spoke to. He would cater it to that specific person.
How convenient. So he's just like, what do you want to hear?
Exactly.
That's what I do. What do you want to hear? Ah, funny, that's what I do.
I can do that, yeah. He could send people to heaven. He could see into the future. He could heal people.
I could send people to heaven.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He could bring the rain. He could reincarnate people. He could speak to
what?
The dead.
Cool.
He could predict.
He could bring fire to the rain?
He could.
Sorry. Guys, I'm on one.
Love it. He could predict a person's death. Things like that. Again, it would always cater to whoever he was speaking with.
Predicted their death and then killed them.
Oh, great. Cool.
That's what I thought. I either thought it was either that or just going, someday, you're going to die.
What?
Yeah.
Someday.
Like, but yeah, him murdering somebody is probably, I predicted, I'm going to be awful to
just
your children.
Wait.
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yikes. And then there are the three angels within him.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the angels.
Yeah,
we've got Arthur. We've got Daniel.
Good old Daniel.
And we've got Amber.
I'm Amber.
Yeah.
I'm Amber,
right? Just wait till what Amber is.
Oh, no.
So Arthur, he said, was the cruel angel. He was an unforgiving master of sorts. Any verbal or physical abuse that he would inflict on a follower was because of Arthur. Daniel was said to be the kinder angel, who was more helpful to his followers. Daniel was the angel he would become to calm and regain the love of his followers after Arthur was cruel to them. Amber was the angel of death.
Yep.
There's already so many angels of death. He made up his own. Amber would appear when Daniel wanted to basically put his followers into place. They say he would stop blinking, make an evil smile, and speak in a demonic or monstrous tone, and Amber would threaten purgatory. Like, don't
Does
use, like,
have
a real angel of death like Michael or anyone.
Okay, but he doesn't have, like, undiagnosed multiple personality disorder?
He definitely has issues, but no,
Okay.
These are, he makes these characters up. But, I mean, because of how long it goes on, I wouldn't be surprised if he, like, truly believed that this was actually happening.
Right, mm-hmm. right, right.
But the way in which, I mean, and I'll talk about more how he uses them, it's definitely a tactic.
Yeah. Like it's a means to not be held accountable.
Oh yes,
right. right.
And yeah. the things he uses them for are awful, awful. There's one story I will specifically talk about, and I'll give a trigger mm-hmm. warning and stuff too before it because it's rough. Mm-hmm. So now something that comes up with the Angel's Landing is the fact that Daniel's Daniel was a very goal-focused person. Other cult leaders had bigger goals, where Daniel had only two very self-driven goals: money, so that he could party and do whatever he wanted, and sex with young girls. Mm. Not women, girls.
Mm.
He would tell these young girls, who truly believed that he had three angels inside him, that he needed to have sex with them to survive. If he did not have regular sex with them, his life was in danger. He would basically get sick and die if they did not have sex with him.
You know, I've recently thought about that weird falsehood that gets told to us when we're younger, that, like, if men don't ejaculate, if they get blue balls or something, then it's, like, then it's harmful or hurtful
oh,
or, like,
yeah.
they're in pain or, you know, like, guys would play that when you're a teenager, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, well, I gotta finish what I started because if I don't, like, I don't want to give you blue balls, like, that kind of thing. Like, it just, that leads me down that kind of path of that manipulation mm-hmm. that gets done when you're younger. Like, mm-hmm. that, like, oh, the blue ball is so painful, it's awful, we can't leave you that way, that's so rude of me to do. And then it's like, well, also, it's not as bad. And women also get blue balls too.
Yeah,
we get the same type of it's the blood flow and the constriction and contraction of the vessels and stuff. It's the same thing, we feel the same pain, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
They've now done studies. Which they didn't for a really long time, you guys.
Oh, big surprise.
Yeah,
big
they surprise absolutely there. Did not do studies on women's genitalia and their organs for a very long time. Right. Or just the female genitalia and all that stuff.
Oh, sure. That's another, we could do a whole episode on that, the fact that, like, there's so many things
we're not testing on,
or just now coming out
yeah.
with stuff. And, like, the whole idea of, like, menopause and how there's actually things you can help us with yeah. when we're going through menopause, but, like, no one does it. None of them, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the one thing I knew about Angel's Landing before I looked into it was that there was some dude who claimed to be an angel and he needed sex to live. But that's all I knew. I didn't realize that it was young girls. I didn't know that it was, like, seriously little girls. Like, what makes me really sad, there's so many reasons why I get really sad, but, like, the age range in which he, like, really attacked are, like, I think about, like, when I, you know, work with kids a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, these, you know, kids who, like, are playing tea parties and, like, mm-hmm. want to do dress up or having sleepovers and want to just sing songs with their friends. Mm-hmm. And he's manipulating their beautiful imagination and, like, taking advantage of that. It's absolutely nauseating, actually. He literally destroys the spark of magic in children. And that's
yeah.
completely disgusting and mm-hmm. awful. Anyways, okay, so in the late 1990s, Daniel and his followers moved from Corpus Christi to a group of townhomes in Wichita, in Kansas. They did briefly stay in Missouri before settling in Wichita. So Catherine, the girl I talked about earlier, actually joins this group and quickly becomes jealous of a young follower named Lindsay, who is 9 years old.
Wow.
So Lindsay became a follower along with her mom, Mona, and Mona's husband, Jim. This is when things take even more of a turn. So in 2001, Mona took out a life insurance policy on herself, and then shortly after, her, Jim, and Lindsay, who was at this point 13, disappeared. March 13th, 2001. Turns out, Jim had a private pilot's license. The family had taken a flight in a small, like, single-engine plane. The plane had crashed and wasn't found right away.
Mm.
Once investigators finally found the plane, which was much longer after they'd been disappeared for a while. Like, it was still the same year when they found it, but it was months later that they found this plane. Inside, they found the bodies of Mona, Jim, and Lindsay.
Oh.
Daniel and Patricia routinely started visiting and calling the insurance company that held Mona's life insurance policy. They were trying to cash in on Mona's life insurance. Later that year, still 2001, they would actually succeed and get the money.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was paid out to Patricia, who gave it to Daniel for Angel's Landing.
Interesting
mm-hmm.
that they were able to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because she
That must have been part of the policy, is that it was...
Yeah, they must have put their names
like,
in it.
Because it was probably that, like, Mona was going to give it to Jim, but Jim was also dead, so then it's like, who else on the list would then get the insurance policy?
Right. Interesting.
Daniel would basically do anything necessary to keep his lavish lifestyle, except actually work. When the group was in Wichita, they started looking for a more permanent housing in Kansas in 2001. So Patricia took out an insurance policy.
Mm.
Her policy was $1.2 million. It included an accidental death rider. That's important.
Yeah.
Now, Patricia, though one of Daniel's followers, was not his partner. She was married to a man named Brian, who was the beneficiary on her life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And Catherine was the co-beneficiary.
Interesting.
Yeah. They used the money from Mona's insurance policy to buy three homes next to each other. This was in Sedgwick County in Kansas, thus creating one large compound, Angel's Landing. In 2002, the group was doing real well. They were regularly having parties, drinking, playing loud music, barbecuing. They also enjoyed riding around the property on ATVs. And one of the biggest things that they loved was luxury vehicles. They loved fancy cars. They had two barns full of them. There were three Corvettes, and everyone else had an SUV. And Daniel also had a large collection of model planes.
Yeah, certain cars don't depreciate in value. So if you get fancy cars, I have a neighbor that has three very nice cars. So I won't go into it because I don't know what people listen to this for. But he has three very nice cars, and it's because they are like, I think, $500,000 cars. And if as long as he doesn't do anything with it, it's like they're fine,
mm-hmm.
or like at least like they're super fucking crazy expensive, and all he has to do
outside all day.
Oh, right, gosh. They're parked. He switches them out. There's always one outside and two in the garage. So he's got and he like switches them out so that they don't. And you also have to turn on cars and stuff. Like you can't just leave them sitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, he does that, and then whenever he needs a ton of money, he just sells one of them.
Whoa.
And then he's got that money. That's kind of his bank.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So just that's probably something I'm wondering about that as well. If they're like, well, I don't know about Corvettes, like if they depreciate in value, but I, you know.
Not if you keep them nice.
Right.
They're all in this barn.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the parties, though. So they weren't like your normal neighborhood block parties or even family get-togethers. The young girls in the compound were abused at these parties.
Oh.
And the followers were being told that they were going to need to do something drastic soon. And it was all in the name of the angels within Daniel, Arthur, Daniel, and Amber. There was a woman named Jennifer who joined the group. She was recently divorced, and she brought with her her two daughters. Sarah was 17 years old, and Emily was 10. Daniel quickly began to groom and abuse them for about 10 years.
Wow.
Thankfully, though, this wasn't all going unnoticed. Angel's Landing was starting to raise red flags for Detective Ron Goodwin. He was an undercover narcotics agent, and Daniel would openly brag about his wealth and secret past, which caught Ron's attention. So Ron started to observe them all. He didn't have hard evidence, only a hunch. And in an interview, someone asked Ron, why did you start paying attention to Daniel? And he's like, he made himself noticeable. Like, he drew attention to himself.
Mm.
He wanted everyone to know, like, look at me and all my money.
Right.
And with that, ladies and beans, grab your delicious cup of bean water, because here come the murders. It's really just one murder, but still very important. Mm-hmm. So,
but that's not how the saying goes.
That's not how the saying goes. The saying is murders. He's connected to
here
deaths.
Here comes the murder.
Yes, one murder, but multiple deaths that he is connected to.
I mean, he did murder people's childhoods, so.
He really did. Amen. Really did. Okay, so June 23rd, 2003, Patricia Hughes died. She was found in the commune's pool face down. A panicked and terrified Angel's Landing member called 911. When it initially happened, it was unknown what happened to Patricia and how she may have drowned in this pool. The truth would take a bit to come out, but it always finds a way. At the time of Patricia's death, Sarah and Emily had witnessed what happened. Daniel, however, convinced them that he had taken them outside of time so that Patricia could move on to the next life. The truth, though, was that blunt force trauma was discovered at the back of Patricia's head during the autopsy. It was also well known that she did not know how to swim, so her being in the pool was really odd to begin with. But it was ruled as an accidental death. The police came to the conclusion that she must have been by the pool, slipped, hit her head, and drowned. So the group collected her very large insurance policy and went on their merry way. Though, there were several members that began to become suspicious of Daniel and his true motives, but not enough to say anything or stop anything. After Patricia died, everything got more extravagant. They got more cars. They got more things. The group was a favorite among car salesmen. Mm-hmm. They were known as repeat customers. One of the girls in an interview said that they basically all had a salesman on speed dial. So they could just be like, yo, man, I want a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. So while they were living it up and cashing in on this new money, Detective Ron was investigating the plane crash. Discovering the link with the family and Daniel and his followers. This escalated event that I'm about to talk about can be triggering. It involves sexual assault towards young women. And if you would like to skip ahead a few minutes or end the episode here, we, as always, super support you and thank you for sharing your coffee with us. So let's take a sip of our coffee, take a deep breath, because this is sensitive and a bit graphic. 2007, at 2 a.m., Sarah wakes up her sister Emily, and she tells her that Daniel wanted them in the pool house. Daniel was very angry. When the girls arrived at the pool house, they saw Daniel and Catherine. Catherine stood back as Daniel grabbed Sarah and Emily by the throats and threatened to kill them. After his threats, he forced all three, Sarah, Emily, and Catherine, to undress as he held a gun towards them and fired it, hitting the ground near their feet.
Whoa.
After they were undressed and even more terrified, he told them to go to his bedroom. Once they were there, he forced Catherine to watch as he raped Sarah and Emily with a beer bottle. Then he forced Catherine to drink from the bottle, and then he told Catherine to leave, leaving Sarah and Emily alone with him. After it was finally over, the girls were shaking, in shock, scared, hurt, and bleeding. Daniel became the Angel Daniel and claimed that the Angel Arthur had committed that horrible, terrible action. The attack would play a major part later in making sure that Daniel would never hurt another young woman again. But until that day came, that was something he did and did often to the girls on the commune.
How can you have grace and forgiveness and following for an angel that would do something so awful?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to know.
I don't know.
Yeah. How can you go, like, you know, like, sure, there's two other ones floating around in there, but how could you go with this one that does this thing with your hands? Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's interesting. That's my first thought. I was like, how could you follow an angel that wants to do such terrible things?
Well, man, it's all about that brainwashing stuff that happens first. Because Arthur doesn't come out first.
It's that you guys need to keep these good angels good so that we never see that.
Yeah. That's so interesting to me. It's like, you guys watch how he behaves at parties and stuff. Why is this? But it's the brainwashing. I totally get that. I think that's just my question's like, how?
Yeah.
If it's so just merciless and stuff, how could you just be like, well, business as usual?
Yeah,
but it reminds me of
he gets them in and they don't even know that one exists until later, and then it's the, oh, well, here, I have a million excuses, that wasn't even me.
Exactly. Yeah,
because I was like, that sounds just like abusive relationships.
Well, yeah, and like, and he's especially with like Emily, she was 10 years old when she started joining the cult.
Of course, and her mom and was grooming, a part of that. Yeah. So if your parents going for it as well, because I know that this was also an issue. That was an issue with the Bagram, the cult that was in Oregon, that one that's on Wild Wild Country, where like a lot of people moved in with their kids, and then you read reports after the fact of like the amount of children that were sexually abused in that whole cult commune thing, because there was just no rules. And they were just bringing in everybody and all these people that had all these problems, and awful.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after the horrific attack happened, Daniel got engaged to another member of Angel's Landing. Her name was Morgan. The engagement did not stop Daniel from doing what he wanted, though.
Yeah.
Emily and Sarah, more times than not, slept in the room with Daniel and Morgan. By this point, several of Patricia's family members had also taken out life insurance policies. You know, for when it was time to add to Angel Landing's funds. One member applied for a credit card. Oh, but this is also important to say. Like, he literally told people that. Like, okay, guys, you got to take out insurance policies because we're going to need to have funding for Angel's Landing, and people will just take out insurance policies.
But, like, isn't the point of that, like, you can't cash that in until you die?
Yes, but it's now it is your time to help Angel's Landing. Yeah, so right? I'll talk
I'd
more
like,
about
Ugh.
It soon. Yeah.
Like, any, like, everything I ever see about somebody taking a life, I'm never going to take a life. Like, y'all are fucked. Like,
Brenna never took out an
insurance
policy.
I mean, she did
policy.
Say, I was going to say, she did say just throw her, make a brick, throw her problem.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like the first, that's like, I would be so suspicious immediately, because it's like, not even just this cult, we have covered so many crimes where someone took out a life insurance policy. That would be my first to be like, so you're gonna kill me. Where are we gonna go?
Where are we going? What's happening?
Yeah, where are we going? Like I would never. I don't know. That's just so funny to me. I feel like that happens every single time that happens. I'm like, this is that. I'm never gonna
never doing that.
Yeah.
Other members applied for credit cards, lying about their income so they could get higher limits.
Mm.
These credit cards, though, got noticed by. Dr. Ron Goodwin.
Yeah.
Detective Ron Goodwin. Ron reached out to the locals and gathered more information. He learned that it was Daniel who was telling the members how much money to withdraw from their credit cards. He also learned that Daniel never had the same story when it came to where his money was coming from.
Mm.
Daniel told some folks that he gained the money because he sold cattle for the U.S. government.
Oh.
Well, others thought it was from a wild and lucky trip to Vegas. None of... yeah, right?
Bro.
Look at my lucky hands with all this
You're
money.
Still not going to make that much money, even having a good hand in Vegas.
That's a lot of money. You got to gamble a lot to get there. You got to lose a lot to make that much.
Yeah, you got
to
have a gambling
Or you got
to
Ocean's 11 that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. None of this, unfortunately, was enough to open a proper investigation into Daniel Perez and Angel's Landing. To add salt to the wound, Ron was assigned to a drug task force since he was an undercover agent for the narcotics department. So that put his Angel's Landing investigation on pause.
Mm.
While he was working on this other case, though, he met an FBI agent who helped catch the BTK killer.
All right.
Yeah. So Ron told this agent everything he knew about Daniel, and the agent offered advice and suggestions to help Ron with his investigation. So Ron continued to work on the case against Daniel, even though it was technically on pause.
Mm.
At this point, the Angel's Landing members were becoming more suspicious of Daniel, including Sarah and Emily. They had all finally found out about the plane crash. The girls were still followers of Daniel, though, despite their suspicions, especially Emily. She had been brainwashed since she was 10 years old, like we said. But they all did feel like something was wrong. So it was, you know, the wheels were starting to turn, but they were still doing as he said.
Right. And if this is your reality by this point, it's like, where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Daniel donated $19,000 to the town of Wichita for a new police car. He was trying to gain favor from the locals because they were also starting to get weird, especially since Patricia's death. All he asked for in return for this car was that there be a sticker placed on it in honor of Patricia Hughes. And it worked. He became well-liked among the locals and the police. Some officers even started coming to Daniel's parties. One of the officers even started to date Sarah. She was older at this point, so she wasn't like a child. But in 2006, Brian Hughes died. He was Patricia's husband. The official report said that it had been an automobile accident. But it was way more complicated than that. So Brian was an accomplished car mechanic, and he had been working on a car at a family member's home in Rapid City, South Dakota. While he was working on the car, somehow the jack that had been holding up the car was kicked loose, causing the car to fall and pin Brian. Crushing him to death. So they said it was him that he kicked it. And it was ruled as an accidental death. However, this accident raised a lot of red flags with members. Brian was smart, and he knew what he was doing when it came to cars. He knew what he was doing when he worked under a car. It seemed so unlike him to make such a mistake. Emily told a story that Brian had called the commune that day to speak to his daughter, and he told her goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
It's my turn to cash in the life insurance policy to keep the cult going. God damn it.
Yep.
I hate that people can be so manipulative for other people, and all they want to do is just live their goddamn life.
Yeah, and unknown to the group at the time, Daniel had been telling Brian he should kill himself for the good of the group.
Ah!
He did it in such a way that it seemed to have worked. The group would be the ones getting the money from his insurance policy, and it was $700,000. 2 years after Brian's death, the money began to dip again. It seemed like every time they started to get below $10,000, Daniel would whisper into someone's ear that it was their time to die for the good of the group. The next time, it was Jennifer, Sarah and Emily's mother. She died in a car accident. She had been speeding, and a witness said that it seemed like almost out of nowhere the car suddenly swerved into the oncoming lane, like it was intentional. Jennifer's car hit a gravel truck head-on, killing her instantly. So Sarah was at school when this happened, and Daniel called the school to tell Sarah about her mother. After she heard the news, she stood there and repeatedly yelled, "What did you do to my mom?" And all the teachers and administrators were there just watching her.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, in 2009, Detective Ron Goodwin and another officer paid a visit to Angel's Landing. He kept the true motive of his visit to himself, telling members that he was investigating a local robbery. He brought with him these printed photographs of several suspects in the robbery for Daniel to look at to see if he recognized anyone. So Daniel moved the glossy photographs around the table using part of his palm and his fingernails and said he didn't recognize anybody. So the real motive of showing him these photos, however, was in hopes that Daniel would leave a print on one, which is why it was on glossy paper. But he never touched them in any way that would leave a fingerprint. Did Daniel realize it was a trick? Or is it all just a coincidence?
He's just a weirdo.
Just a weirdo. So Sarah started dating a man around her own age who was also named Daniel. He was not part of Angel's Landing community at all, and he wanted to become a cop. He did not think much about the commune when Sarah talked about it, but once he started visiting, he could feel that something wasn't right.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, weird vibes here.
Yeah.
When this Daniel met Daniel Perez, he knew something was very wrong with him. Perez was very standoffish towards this other Daniel and was overly protective with all the girls on the commune. Daniel Perez was having the girls, like, sit in his lap, or he was, like, constantly touching them and often inappropriately. And this other Daniel knew something had to be done because this was just wrong. Like, what is this man doing? These are children. So he paid very close attention to what he saw going on around him and kind of gathered evidence that he could. Later, in 2009, Daniel Perez knew that his time of ruling this group was coming to an end. He moved the group one last time to Columbia, Tennessee, in hopes to hold on to control. Sarah stayed behind. She had just married the other Daniel and wanted to stay with him. Finally, she told her new husband the truth. She told him about all the abuse she had suffered from Daniel and his angels, and what she thought was really going on with the Angels Landing group. Now, Daniel Perez was trying to become Joe Venegas.
He's an asshole. Who cares?
Venegas. That's it. Joe Venegas. I was like, I know. I heard it said on the documentary. I don't remember how I said it. So he's trying to become Joe Venegas. Actually, it was Daniel Perez who was being Lou Castro, who was becoming Joe Venegas. Lot of lines here. So, while he was trying to become another person, yet again, the other Daniel contacted the FBI with what he knew and what, like, Sarah had told him.
Yeah. He's like, hey, guess what?
Guess what, guys?
What? Hi. Yeah. How nice for Sarah to finally have an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks to that, Detective Ron Goodwin had what he needed. So Ron sat down with this good Daniel, essentially, and learned everything about the cult and Daniel Perez. Ron learned of Daniel Perez's new identity and the fact that he had just taken out a life insurance policy on his own child, Alice. Child. Like, she's a child.
Yeah.
Daniel Perez was arrested.
I didn't know you could do that.
I guess you can.
All right. I want to give a shout out to Magnum Coffee.
Magnum Coffee.
They're a coffeery in Vegas. And I think it's at least where they roast their beans. But they're a company in town, and they're really cool, and they're really nice, and they have delicious coffee. They're kind of over by the airport if you're a Vegas person.
Like Sunset and...
Not quite Eastern.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's really cool. They do coffee stuff there. They also donated a gourmet coffee basket for the Playhouse. So thank you, Magnum Coffee. Also, you have delicious coffee.
Thank you.
For being
delicious
coffee. Oh, coffee. Not
Development Hell is back, guys.
Development Hell is the podcast that Richard Humphreys and Kyle Anderson has with another gentleman that's, I'm sure, very lovely as well. I'm very sorry that I don't know your name, but I love that podcast. They do, like, a stupid, awesome deep dive about, like, a movie that took forever to get made. They just did the Speed Racer, like, and it's so good. And they just, like, they're funny. Their anchor ad is my favorite one. And because they tell the truth about how we make millions of dollars off of Anchor. Mm-hmm. they're not afraid to tell the truth. And they're just funny boys, and I love it. And I'm somebody that likes to learn a ton of shit about stupid things. They did a whole thing about Godzilla, and it's so great. And King Kong, like, it's so great. So I highly recommend it if you want to learn about movies and projects and video games and stuff like that that just took forever.
Yeah.
Fun.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's really awesome.
How much did they pay you for that ad?
not enough.
No, just kidding. They paid me nothing. They paid me in friendship because I love them.
Ah.
Friendship. Gross. I love it.
Friendship. Daniel Perez was arrested on April 21st, 2010 for identity fraud. Police found fake documents in his home that helped speed up the case against him. Daniel, bad Daniel, and the girls were all interrogated. Unfortunately, Sarah reverted back to her old self and refused to talk. In fact, no one would talk. The power of brainwashing and grooming from a young age, I guess. So Daniel was imprisoned for 2 years, but as Jane Doe, because his identity couldn't be confirmed. They couldn't keep him there much longer, however.
They put him in as a Jane Doe?
John Doe. I said Jane Doe.
I was like, that's great.
They're John Doe.
No,
you're going to be Jane Doe.
No, we want to call you because you make up names anyway.
Yeah. That's true. John Doe. John Doe. You can't take Jane Doe. John Doe. Without knowing who he was, the charges against him wouldn't keep him there much longer. About 24 months, I guess, was like what he had left before they had to release him. So Detective Ron Goodwin continued to work. He had to find out a way to, like, prove who he really was. So finally, he got one of the girls to tell them Daniel's name, Daniel Perez. Mm. Turns out, Daniel was thought to have died many years prior. He had been using a false identity, or identities, for over 25 years.
Mm. Hmm. Man, living like that must be awful.
Tiring, that's right? Awesome. It's like the TV show Ozarks, but it's like, God, you're just always running from something. Yeah. My God, so tired.
Just want to sleep.
Right.
So Emily came to visit Daniel at prison, and it was then that the glass shattered. Emily had been away from Daniel for about 2 years by this point. When she sat in the visiting room with the glass between them, she could see his face. And he looked fine. Healthy, even. Since she was 10 years old, she was taught and truly believed that he would die if he did not have sex with her and her sister regularly.
Oh, my God!
That's what he told her. Yeah, I know.
I know, but it's just the fact that she gets to she got to have this realization, which I'm sure was awful, but then also,
they hadn't seen him.
What a stupid lie. You stupid fucking, sorry.
Oh, no, yes, absolutely. He is. They hadn't seen him in 2 years, and he was fine. Yeah, what she had known to be true for so long was such a terrible, awful, hurtful lie, and it shattered something within her. She saw him for what he really was, finally. And the term monster doesn't even cover it.
No. Mm-mm.
She told the police everything.
Good. Hell yeah.
September 2011, Patricia Hughes' death was found to be murder.
Yeah.
Daniel Perez was charged with 1 count first-degree murder, 10 counts of rape, 10 counts of aggravated criminal sodomy, 3 counts of aggravated assault, 11 counts of false information, 1 count of criminal threat. The trial started in 2012. The defense team tried to show how great of a guy he was, how he was liked by everyone in town, and that it was the women of Angel's Landing that were the real masterminds behind the crimes.
Right. The 10-year-old he groomed was the mastermind, right?
They wanted all of his money, so they were manipulating him. Right. Manipulating him out of the money he got from the life insurance policies from the members of his following that suddenly died.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Like their mother. Like,
right.
You know,
Jesus. But none of the defense plans worked at all. So, see, everyone came out to testify against him, including Sarah and Emily. Mm. Now that they had been away from him, they were able to recall the events of the night Patricia died more clearly. And the scream they heard, and the splash, and then Daniel coming inside, soaking wet. They also spoke about the abuse and manipulation they suffered from him. Daniel, like all good sociopaths and psychopaths seem to do, he took the stand to defend himself. He spoke for over 4 hours.
Well, of course he did. Mm-hmm.
He rambled about just about anything and everything. A head injury he suffered from, the memory loss he had because of that injury, that Patricia had taken him in to care for him and his memory loss, and that it was Patricia who ran Angel's Landing, and he was just a hapless man with memory loss in the background.
God, take responsibility for something in your fucking life, dude.
Which Angel had the memory loss? Do you think that was Amber?
It was definitely Amber.
Right? Which angel was the
which
one?
Which angel was it,
Could
sir?
You tell me which one remembers?
Oh, right.
Can I talk to this angel?
Can you bring the angel to the stand, please? I'd like to call to the stand, yeah. Amber.
I just imagine. The angel of death. Well, you guys know what, like, biblical angels look like? They look like nightmares.
They have, like, a million eyes. Yeah, and they're fucking terrifying.
They're fucking terrifying. That's what I would imagine if he's like, oh, you guys want it? And then he's like,
it's like what we do in the shadows. He yells, "Angel!" Instead of like, "Bat!"
And he just becomes a terrifying...
Amber!
Amber!
He was asked where the money came from for all of his cars and planes and parties. And he said, "Why, I receive a mysterious red duffel bag that contains all the money in it. And I have no idea where it comes from."
Cool. I want to slap him.
And guys... Ladies and beans, he had the fucking nerve to claim that it was impossible for him to rape women because of scar tissue on his penis from an injury his youth.
Show me right now.
But he could have consensual sex with women, no problem.
Mm. I was just about to ask, what about the consensual sex?
The scar on his penis prevented him from raping women. What the actual fuck?
Are you telling me that there's a way that people can be scarred so they don't rape people?
Or people?
Yeah. Cool, give me a knife. Let's do this.
How do I help out with that? Jesus Christ. Weird, but then consensual sex is fine?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like an angle thing or like an angel thing? I'm sorry. He killed a lady.
He murdered a lady.
He raped a bunch of people.
He's a horrible human.
What a bad dude.
So obviously not one person believed him. No doctor would back up his clearly made up and absolutely medically impossible story.
How insane must it be for everyone to have believed you for so long in your life and now suddenly it's like everything he said was no longer believable, like in public, and at this point he probably believes all of his own bullshit too.
Yeah.
So how that must have been fucking wild to be such a monster and justify all that stuff anyways, but then to suddenly be like, there's a reason why I only spoke to children, because I could manipulate them and all these adults don't understand or listen to me. Must have been really crazy to feel and go through, but also he's a monster, so fuck him, right?
And they did. So February 2015, after 3 hours of deliberation, the jury came back with a guilty on all counts verdict. He was sentenced to life in prison plus 406 months for other charges, which means he will spend 80 years in prison before he's eligible for parole.
Rape him with a beer bottle every fucking day.
So it would put him at the age of 130 at that time. It also means no innocent girls to keep his inner angels appeased. So I guess he's shit out of luck.
Right? Well, I was also going to say, like, him being arrested, even for the 2 years that he was put away, probably saved his daughter's life. Like, at least for another 2 years. Like, that's, you know, putting him away saved a lot of people that was following him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, ugh.
On another happier note, Sarah and Emily did go on to live their own lives.
Yay.
They both got married and just do their best every day to put Angel's Landing behind them. They live private lives, and let's help them keep it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no world where bothering them will make anything better. I'm glad to know that they were able to stand up to the devil, essentially, and go on with their own lives. And that, ladies and beans, is the story of the cult of Angel's Landing. Any final sips?
Don't fuck kids.
Leave kids. I don't know how many times we have to say leave kids alone.
Leave them alone. And I understand, like, there's all this thing about, like, the purity of it, and, like, they're just, they're much easier to manipulate. Like, even when, you know, you listen to stories of dudes that are, like, in their 30s dating 18-year-olds, you're like, it's because it's, and then they're like, she's so mature. Can hear
right? Aurora's like, I agree.
I got a snoot. I just got like a snoot in my side.
Aurora wants to join us for our sip conversation.
There's a puppy in here.
Yeah, now there's a puppy.
And I'm Ben.
And Bo's open.
Ben's like, but me. All the doggos. But yeah, like if there's any of those inklings, please seek therapy. Like, yes. just
immediately.
It's like, please seek therapy. Because holy shit, kids aren't sexy.
Mm-mm.
Kids aren't sexy at all. Leave them the fuck alone.
And kids don't, if an adult asks you for help, they don't need help from a kid.
Yeah.
What would they ever need help from me from? They're grown-ups. They can figure it out. They don't need anything from you to survive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right, Aurora?
Right?
Talk for us. Can you talk?
Sing.
Sing.
My stomach's saying.
Sing.
She goes, like,
I'm too shy.
Now she's shy.
That's funny. She's like, I'm gonna go hit that boy again. But yeah, it's really crazy. It's interesting watching all the cult stuff because, like, it is super easy to get, you know, lost in the sauce and like lost in the sauce and high on each other's supply, right? So it's like it's easy for that to happen. I mean, we've done even in smaller, less violent and terrible things. We've been in groups. I feel like that happens with shows. Like you get very involved. You're doing one big commitment together. It's like weeks and weeks of time and space and all this stuff, and you only ever see these people. Like even on a smaller scale, I can see how some of that can be, if the wrong person is the director or stage manager or something, you can get like a really weird cult-like mentality of it. And like, I think that's with any like group thing, like work. I think like people can have jobs like that where it's like you're all kind of, even though, like, things are not right, you're still staying there for whatever reasons or whatever. And then you get to a point where now you, like, rely upon, like, it's, like, an abusive relationship, right? You that's, like, you're so far in that it's, like, I can't get out of this now. Like, you know, I'm worse. Like, what do I do? You know, like, and it's, what is awful is that he started with people so young. Like, did you ever have kids that, like, believed they were vampires and shit when kids? Yeah. When they were, like, teenagers and stuff and witches and all that stuff. And it's, like, that's not how that works. Like,
we are witches,
right? But you don't, you also don't,
I was a witch,
witches,
and I did spells,
you are,
and
a witch,
were,
we
right,
are,
okay,
we but are witches.
You also didn't use that to manipulate other people, probably.
No, like, I turned someone into a cat,
right?
Ooh. I'm kidding.
But it's like those things only work when you have that, when you don't have the rest of that brain development yet, right? To like know that, like, oh no,
the things
that,
I like, when I say stories about my childhood, I'm like, why did I do that? And let me do that? Like, my God.
Yeah, I remember there was a girl that I knew whose boyfriend convinced her that he was a vampire and, like, had to drink blood and, like, would drink her blood and all these other things, and she had to wear a vial around her neck of it. And then, like, since then, like, he had only, well, then they broke up and he was, like, only dating still high school girls. And it was after they had, like, it was after we had graduated. So it was one of those, like, come on. Yeah. Big old yikes
big
situation.
Old yikes.
But it's like, it's because it's younger people are just easier to manipulate.
Yeah. Because they have that little magic.
Yeah.
And some of them weren't even.
Brains
like,
aren't developed.
Obviously, he manipulated the parents to bring them there.
Right.
So it's not even the development thing. It's just the straight up manipulation, or looking at someone like, oh, you have two children and, oh, it looks like you could use some help.
Yeah.
Well, then come here.
You're
and that mother
divorced,
is just,
come
right.
Here.
Yeah. That mother's just trying to make a better life for her daughters and has absolutely no idea what's going to happen. And it's just,
it's
so frustrating.
Did you say that there was stuff happening at the parties? That they'd be abused at parties as well?
Because
that's what I'm.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. So then when were the adults going to speak up about that?
Well, I mean, I think it went along with the Arthur, Daniel, Amber thing. Like, they were just like, oh, well, that's Arthur. that's what's going on. Well, because even when, like good Daniel, who we kind of talked about, when he was there, he saw him, like, inappropriately touching girls, yeah. And that is
he
abuse.
Said something that's immediately. Abuse. Yeah, yes. He, like, what's great is that he was, like, weird, we're but he was gonna... new yeah. coming mm-hmm. in.
I'm just gonna go over here and call the FBI.
Yeah, I gotta get out of here.
This is Popo. Look at her. Hi. She's like, I'm gonna eat the curtains. So I would like to give a shout out to Dead Kennedy in Space. I watched their History on Cults Angels Landing episode, and I thought that they did a great job telling the story in a respectful and informative manner. You can check out the link to their show in our show notes. Mm-hmm. My final sip is this. We are all looking for the same things. We want to belong. Mm-hmm. Even those of us who are very introverted and would rather chill alone at home than go out still have the desire to belong somewhere. So there are some people in this world who feed on that. It's awful and it's scary. And it's I feel like it's our job to kind of help protect each other mm-hmm. and like do the best we can in whatever capacity we can to like help each other stay away from those types of people. If we see red flags, try to say something or tell someone who can say something. Not all of them get to this point, obviously, but it doesn't make them any less scary. Manipulation is damaging.
Yeah.
Being made to feel like you need to do something because you aren't good enough is damaging.
Yeah.
If you feel trapped or know someone who might be caught up in something seeking help, I included some articles about cults, how to identify them, and how to help if you or someone you know needs help. So... Mm-hmm. Give those a little look. One of them's from Oprah.
Well, then that's gotta be Oprah. True. Freaking Oprah.
Yeah. And like beans, you know, like that's the thing is like if you're seeking like connection is the opposite of like so many terrible things like addiction and isolation mm-hmm. and all this other mm-hmm. stuff. So connection is the opposite of it because when you connect, whether you're doing acts of service or otherwise, like you're not doing the other thing, right? Like, so I think it's important to know that, like, you belong with us. Like,
yeah,
you're a bean.
You're
like,
a bean.
We are a connection, and we see you and love you, and you're mm-hmm. valid, and our community is pretty cool. We've got lots mm-hmm. of really great people that are beans as well, yeah. And we're not going to try to get you to take out a life insurance policy.
No.
So we're just, you know, you're valid and you're worthy and if something feels off, listen to your gut.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like we've talked about this before, because even if you feel like something is off and then it ends up being fine, then it will be fine. But if something is off and you say something and then they're not cool about it, you're right. There's
something
nothing
right.
is
yeah.
fine. Because if there is something that isn't off, the person that you're having that feeling with is going to be cool. You're going to talk about it. It's going to be fine. But if something is off, they're going to get defensive.
It just reminds me of like when you get pulled over and you're like, well, I want to call to make sure you're an actual cop.
Yes.
It's like if they are an actual cop, yeah. they will understand why you yeah. kept driving, why you wanted to wait till you got to a safe place.
Sometimes.
And why, well,
we have,
well,
there have been instances have been of them, some. Like of them being, you know, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. But a good cop,
a
yeah.
good cop.
An actual cop who wants to help people.
Yeah.
Would be like, okay, cool, got it,
right? Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, yeah,
I'm trying
yeah.
to get you to pull over so I can kill you. Damn it!
Right,
right. Or well, yeah, there was that pregnant woman that the cops like flipped her car because they thought she was evading. But it's like you can also call 911 if there's a cop following you and you don't know what's going on. And then usually they will like check that. They'll check and see if
yeah.
the person's there.
Right.
So yeah,
yeah. Because like there's I forget which episode it is, but there is a Forensic Files episode where this woman. Felt like, you know, she was a stripper and she felt like there were people that were kind of she was nervous about. So she got like a police escort, but the police escort ended up being the bad guy and he killed her.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. There is this thing that came out recently. I'm going to look it up and put it in show notes and send it to you guys. But there was a study that was done about like communication. I'd have to find it. But so it's something about how when they've now found that if you, sorry, I'm seeing if it would come up on anything that I've saved recently. I'm going to look it up and find it. But okay. they've now discovered that, we need to just do better at communicating in general, like, and like that whole idea of like checking on something and then coming back and like double checking because they're finding, which we've already kind of known about this, that, like, because of how we've all been raised differently and we all take in information differently, we can all read the same sentence and the same statement but glean something different from it.
Oh,
no
yeah.
matter what, right? Absolutely. So, like, it could be anything. It could even be, like, because we even see colors kind of differently, like the cones, everything kind of goes a little bit differently into our eyes. But then also, it's like shades of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some people are colorblind. There's all these variations on stuff. But it comes down to communication as well. So, like, there is this interesting block that we have where we're like, we really want to be understood, but we don't want to have, like, we're afraid of saying the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. When you are. You just are, because what I'm saying isn't exactly what you're hearing or what you're receiving. Like, my intention is different from impact, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's important. It's more so, like, we just need to start communicating about, like, yeah, you're never going to be completely fully understood the first go around, because even if someone's like, I totally get it, you're right, in their brain, something different happened from what exactly you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. So it's just, we should now be focused on the communication, or the aspect of communication that is coming to the same page of something, and, like, even coming back around and going, like, so this is what I meant when I said this, or, like, because you can, it's just interesting about how communication, our brains just take things differently. So just, it was just along the lines of, like, taking the time to communicate to somebody when something's going on, mm-hmm. even if you're afraid that you're going to be misunderstood or that something's going to be construed or, like, whatever, it's just important to go, like, I will be, so I'm just going to say something anyways. Like, yeah, I'm going to be misunderstood. That's the nature of the fact that something from my brain doesn't necessarily connect to everyone else's brain the same way, mm-hmm. in all the same, you know, check boxes being checked off. Mm-hmm. So it's just important, I think, now to just, like, I hope that study gets brought about or just, like, said more. I'm gonna find it and send it to you guys. But it's, like, you're not going to be understood because you're not my brain.
But you should still say something.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say about it. Like, so you should still say something, though, because it's better to say something and you might be misunderstood, but, like, then you at least have the opportunity to keep talking about it rather than just nothing.
Right. So, like,
we're all not mind readers.
Right.
What? No?
So, like, the fear is, the fear is that you're going to be misunderstood, or that, like, you're going to say something and get somebody in trouble, or, like, whatever it is. It's, and that is okay, because that is the process of communication. Mm-hmm. Like, is that there will be just levels of things that aren't understood, but it's okay because that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
So it's okay to still speak up.
And taking the steps to talk to each other, mm-hmm. and find out what each other is trying to say versus, like, fighting or ignoring.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's movie bullshit. That's always the thing. I think every movie we ever see, or, like, crimes that we'll talk about where if someone would have just said something, mm-hmm. anything, or if I would have just told you, like, I was going here instead of there, like, the whole plot of the movie would be pointless, you know, like, it's that kind of thing. It's just poor writing. So, mm-hmm. just do better writing for yourself.
Write a better
story instead of the bullshit movie stuff just because it's comfortable or it's familiar,
you know? Like, or, like, anxiety brain sometimes, right? We'll already predict the outcome, so we won't even do it.
Yeah.
Like, that outcome may happen, but still, like,
it also may not. Yeah.
And it also may not. You're not going to know until you try and you say something.
But most likely, you're going to live.
Yeah.
Yes.
Most likely.
Yeah.
I have to tell that to my anxiety. Okay, but this won't. You're not going to die.
Yeah.
So, like,
I've done this before.
However this goes, mm-hmm. it's going to be okay.
Yeah. So I think it's just important to say something. And with knowing that even if you get misunderstood, that's okay because it's a part of it. It's okay.
Yeah, there's a difference between, like, trying to communicate something versus I'm going to fight you on this.
Right.
Like,
well, because even good Daniel heard it, did something, mm-hmm. knew something was wrong.
Yeah, so you know something's wrong, but you won't take responsibility for it. You're still going to blame this other angel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas good Daniel was, like, told about these things and was like, oh, yeah, no, this is bad. I'm going to report it. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. whereas who knows? I know that she kept everything to herself. She was really secretive. But, like, who knows even as a child in passing, like, all these people, adults that are around them in their cult, like, no one listened or cared or paid attention or mm-hmm. was like, well, that's part of it. It's your lot in life. It's what it is. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can tell your story to someone else and someone else will be like, no, that's bad. And I have your back and I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Yeah. Because when you're in it, you don't necessarily see it. It's like when you have cats. and there's litter boxes in the house, and you do not smell them because you get nose blind. And then someone comes to the house and they go, "Oh, you have cats."
Yeah.
And you're like, "How did you know?" Yeah. They're hiding.
Yeah.
So like, it's always important to just talk, and that's a lot. Like the articles talk about that too. That I've shared in the show notes about identifying a cult and like helping a friend that might be in one. And it's all about patience and communicating and just like talking and just being there and being a person for that friend. Mm-hmm. Because if you try to force anything or fight them on it, it's just gonna shut them down.
Yeah, man, because they don't know.
Because they don't realize.
Also, it's scary to think that, it is terrifying to think that your reality is not real.
Right.
Yeah. Regardless of what that is. Mm-hmm. So for somebody to make you question everything, that's why so many people respond to stuff with hatred. Because they're like, you pin some of your personality and like what you know onto that. And it sucks to feel like you are wrong and that you have been wronged and that everything that you know is wrong or some stuff that you know is wrong. It hurts. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I can see why people avoid it.
Yeah, but...
Or why they react with anger or like crazy feelings, you know?
But like the lotus flower, even if you're got a bunch of mud on you can fight your way through and you can bloom.
Mm-hmm.
As cheesy as that sounds, like that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, we all go through shit and we can learn things are wrong. We can learn, you know, the way we were raised was weird or the things we were taught were awful or the opposite. And like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The point is like, we're all here on this earth, we're humans and we're just trying to do our best.
Right.
And sometimes your life completely gets flipped over, but you can grow and you can pick yourself up or have help. Like, help is such a wonderful thing. There's nothing wrong with asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
We're all here on this crazy earth just trying to drink coffee and talk about true crime.
Yeah. So we can wrap our heads around
on this giant rock.
Yes, that is speeding through space.
Speeding through space.
Speeding around through space.
I'm really happy to be on this blue marble with you two.
Aww.
And you beans.
And you beans.
And all the monsters in the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
As you think about that next time you're in the ocean,
yes.
Thanks for listening to this episode.
Thank you for joining
not listening
us.
On a boat.
On a boat. Yes, exactly. Well, thank you, Beans. Thank you, ladies, for going on that journey with me.
Happy to be there.
Happy to be there.
Anywhere you are, Nicole.
Oh, I love you guys. I love you, Beans. All right, Beans, go grab yourself another cup of coffee or an espresso shot or maybe drink some water, like whatever feels good for you.
Hydrate, baby.
Hydrate. Yay. Always important to hydrate. We look forward to having you join us again next time here on this episode. Nope. Here on this episode.
On this podcast.
On this planet.
Water
I
rock.
Yarn?
I don't know why.
Ball yarn we call it.
Morning Murders.
Oh, no.
We got there eventually.
Yeah. We got there. It's about the journey. Not the
ending. Not the ending.
It's about the store journeys.
Yes.
And the Doc Martens we buy there.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
thank you for listening to Morning Murders.
Keep checking our page for new episodes and special guests.
Want to learn more? Swing by our Instagram to check out more information from our episodes at Morning Murders. That's MORNINGMURDERS. Also, you can always check out some mental health links and our episodes resources in our show notes.
If you enjoyed listening to our highly caffeinated conversation, please leave us a 5-star rating and tell your friends.
If you have any stories you'd like to hear discussed around the Breakfast Nook, email us at morningmurders@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening!
Oh, a nose! Hi! She's healthy. She absorbs sound. She's like, I absorb sound, you guys.
You can be in here, but you have to be quiet. That's not
quiet. The first thing
That's
she does.
Not quiet.
Are we recording a podcast?
It's not quiet. Do you have a crime to talk about? What have you seen?
She's like, oh, is it
he's
so pretty?
Ben.
No.
Ben, he's like, I've been kicked out. Everything is...
Oh, all right.
Yeah, you're cute. I like you. You're cute. I like you.
Every little thing she does is magic.
Right?
I'm a wizard.
You're a wizard.
I'm a wizard.
Wow.
Nicole.
Amanda!
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep, indeed.
Beep, beep.